An excellent weekend for Arsenal after what's been a very trying week for the team and the manager. And trying I was to set this podcast up because today we have a celebrity edition in store for us. Like always, we're joined by the very cheerful Aman Jain from North London. And we welcome back our fan favorite, Viggy from Seattle. Viggy, say hello to the group very quickly.
Hello, everybody.
And we also have a Manchester United fan, a good friend of mine, joining in from Singapore for the very first time on the Red, White, and Brown Report podcast, Yuri.
Hey, everyone. I'm Yuri. I'm a Man United fan, and I'm calling in from Singapore. If I'd known what the score would be, I probably wouldn't have called in, but here I am.
Yes, and today was the perfect occasion as well, right after a 3-0 Arsenal victory over Manchester United at home at the Emirates. We'll start with Aman. Aman, what were your thoughts about the game?
Yeah, I'm still trying to land on earth after that game. I was extremely nervous before the start of the game. I literally my stomach was knotting up, but I think the release was very quick after the first 20 minutes with 3-0 up. And I think it has showed the fact that the players really wanted to do it for the manager this time. He got a lot of flack for us for defending Ospina, but I don't know what people expect. He's not going to put him down and say that he's shown his shit after since he's the second goalkeeper. So all credit to the players and the manager.
Viggy, what were your thoughts? And also, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much, Vikas. And I'd like to welcome Yuri from Singapore as well. So I was not sure if he's from Russia or if he's from Singapore, but looks like he's from India. So namaste, Yuri. Welcome. It was a brilliant game. I must say that. We had a conversation about this before as well, that the start is going to be extremely important. We have done this so often in the past where we start with such a high intensity, don't capitalize on our chances, give everything up after the 20 minutes, let the other team put a foot in the game, and then we lose it all. But it was an excellent, excellent start. Ozil was simply magnificent. I think that Sanchez is going to take all the credits, but it was wonderful to see Ozil so clinical and creating chances and even taking one himself. So it was very refreshing. What was my favorite part of the game, though, was the second half. It was a very, very organized, two banks of four kind of a defense. And for a change, we never looked very threatened to concede, which we always do because as the saying goes, if there's any team which can throw away a 3-0 or a 4-0 lead, it's Arsenal. But we didn't do that, and it was a really, really good weekend. Added to the fact that there was a Mourinho meltdown and a collapse yesterday, it has really brightened up my weekend, and looking forward to the next whole week of reading analysis, reports, and watching the highlights over and over.
Writing up your weekend is kind of ironic because aren't you in Portland or Seattle right now? But anyway, joining us to give his thoughts, Yuri, you want to take it away from here and talk about what you thought about the game?
Sure. I think Viggy mentioned Sanchez and Ozil, but the person who, I mean, surprised me was Walcott as well. Starting either Walcott or Giroud for Arsenal tends to be, kind of an indicator of how they plan to play. And I think starting Walcott, whether intentional or not, turned out to be a masterstroke. I think he kind of stretched us. I think his pass to Ozil for the second goal, I believe, was excellent, perfectly weighted onto Ozil's left foot. I'm not a big fan of Walcott. I think he's dumb as a doorknob. He's just a real past person who somehow has stumbled into the game of football, but he didn't show that today. I thought he was really good. He made the right runs. I think he was excellent, and he really, really tested our admittedly awful defense. So I think Arsenal were really, really good. They deserved it. And yeah, I think another thing that pleasantly surprised me was that Wenger seems to have actually identified United's weakness. Which anybody should be able to do that. We just do not get started in the first half. I think he sent the team out to play. He told them to go and run at people in the first 20 minutes. And it worked out really, really well for you guys. I mean, those three goals really killed the game in the first 20 minutes.
I agree. And for people who don't know Yuri, it's very difficult to get compliments out of him. And I'm glad that he was a little cautiously positive and complimenting Theo Walcott. Yuri and also Theo Walcott's been good the entire season, not just today. But if you watch the first goal as Walcott like pulled two defenders with him, leaving Sanchez to run near the post. I think that was fantastic. And you talked about his runs. But what did you think about the United performance in general? Like you mentioned, the United defenders were absolutely bad. Ashley Young throughout the game was getting mauled by both Bellerin and I think even Aaron Ramsey.
I think in hindsight now, it seems like United fans, the United team and the United manager were a little bit overconfident going into this game. I think that comes out of, you know, being unbeaten in the last 12, I think, against Arsenal. And I think that rubbed off. Because if you see, Van Gaal's selection usually tends to be pretty predictable, and it was very predictable today as well. But one thing that changed was he played both Carrick and Schweinsteiger, both the oldies together. He never ever does that. And I think that cost us the game because we didn't really have the energy levels in midfield. I don't think, you know, you should be getting outpassed in midfield. I mean, you would get outpassed in midfield by Sandy Cazorla, who's awesome. But at least on the physical side, I feel that a United midfield of Schneiderlin plus either Carrick or Schweinsteiger would probably have made more sense in hindsight.
That's very true. United did get outclassed in the midfield. Arsenal was playing with a perfect game plan per se. Pressing really hard in midfield, pressing really hard up front. I mean, we saw a few times where Alexi completely went in and like tackled Schweinsteiger. He had no reason to be there. Same with Theo Walcott, actually, too. One slight tackle near in the Arsenal half. United didn't get any time on the ball in the midfield, at least in the first half. They looked like they were, and Arsenal looked like they were getting a shot on goal every time they had possession. So, It was pretty much an Arsenal show for the first 45 minutes. Aman, what did you think about? You mentioned Mesut Ozil. You mentioned Theo Walcott. Anyone else that stood out?
I thought Mondale again, but he has been brilliant through the season. So, and today again, there was nothing through his flank which came through. So he was again superb. He could have given an assist towards the end if Giroud had taken a better shot in the second half. I think if I had to criticize it, probably we should have scored more goals. There were at least two or three clear chances which really we just hit straight to Dia. So if there's slightly better finishing, then we could have scored maybe one or two goals more. And I thought Mertesacker did well. I mean, normally he doesn't really get that many headers off, but today he won quite a few headers and he managed to put off even Fellaini. So that was a pleasant surprise.
You know, actually, I thought of all the Arsenal players, if we had to single out one person who didn't play well, I thought it was Mertesacker. He seemed very dodgy in the first half. Martial troubled him a little bit. He got that turn. And he almost conceded one goal. But I guess overall, he handled Fellaini well in the second half. But I know Viggy's a huge fan of the BFG. What did you think?
I think before saying anything, I'd like to go a little Andy Gray on Alexis Sanchez's third goal and say, what a hit, son. What a hit. It was an incredible hit. You knew he's going to do that. You knew he's going to shimmy, cut back in. He's going to get on Darmian's left hand, left leg and just zip. And then that's what he did. And there was no chance for Dave to save it. So, unfortunately for the United fans, that was how the third goal came up. Talking about our defense, I think, Mertesacker was pretty decent. I mean, I know that he's really good positionally. But it does help when you have a Peter Cech right behind you that you have that insurance policy. That even if you make a mistake, you know that you're going to be bailed out by the big fact check right behind you. So it does help in that way. I was more concerned about how Gabriel will play because it's a big game for him and he's not played a lot with Mertesacker. I think he's been more comfortable playing with Koscielny before, but he handled himself pretty well. He had a very anonymous kind of a game, which is always good for a centre-back, so I think it really helped. Defensively, we were pretty good. Coquelin had a good game in the first half. He was winning balls higher up the pitch to relieve some pressures of the Arsenal defence. But overall, I love the fact that Wenger changed the tactics, got Ramsey in midfield, made it 4-5-1. And as soon as you lose the ball, there were two banks of four sitting right in front of the D, and then we were really defending pretty well. So overall, good defensive performance. Mertesacker can be better as always, but no harm done.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Aaron Ramsey. I'm tempted to stir up the conversation from the last episode of whether Aaron Ramsey on the right or in the center, but I wanted to pass it on to Yuri to find out what he thought about Aaron Ramsey's performance against a very sorry Ashley Young or the entire United left side, actually.
I think he was okay, to be honest. I didn't think he did anything stellar, and I don't really expect him to do that. And I think he was playing on the right of a front three, or he was playing in the right of, you know, the middle three behind the striker or something like that. I thought he was okay. I thought he was proficient. I have to agree with Vicky that I don't think that's his best position. I'm not exactly sure what is his best position, but I don't think being out on the right is. I thought he was okay. I think all of the danger came from the left when you had Sanchez over there. You had Walcott drifting over onto that side. So I don't know. I didn't really notice Ramsey at all until I think he missed a chance. He missed a great chance, but that's the only time I noticed him. He has a great beard, though. Counts for a lot in Vikas's land.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, actually, the hairstyle does count a lot more than the beard, only because...
Because it's sexier.
It looks sexier, exactly. Thanks for saying it for me. I was a little embarrassed to say it myself. But, so Aaron Ramsey, you mentioned in the center of the park, but what about Wayne Rooney? He hasn't scored in like 16 away games.
I hate to turn this into a United podcast or a podcast on United's feelings, but Wayne Rooney has been horrendous. I mean, all of this year, I think maybe even the second half of last year, even all of last year, I don't think he contributed that much. He did a few of those runs where he gets the ball and he just runs a lot till he trips over his own feet or trips over the ball or something like that. So, I don't know, I think it was status quo for Wayne Rooney, and it's really surprising why LVG doesn't drop him. I thought he was okay. He was just himself.
And, well, don't worry about turning this into a United podcast. If there's one day I'd love to talk about Manchester United, it's probably today. So, you won't hurt any of our listeners' feelings, Yuri. But, what about... So where was Herrera today? Was he... Even
I think he's injured and he wasn't in the subs, but to be honest, even if he was not injured, LVG just does not seem to fancy him at all, and he wouldn't have played him anyways. So, yeah, he wasn't there.
So, with Martial in the team, and Martial looked pretty sharp, at least on two or three occasions versus... He tried his hand on the right versus Nacho Monreal, and that didn't really work well. He passed a couple of really good balls on down the left when Bellerin was trying to tackle him down. But I thought his best position was right in the middle where he was standing right next to Mertesacker. His pace obviously bothered Mertesacker a little bit. Where do you think he should be playing?
I think he was really good. I think he should be doing exactly what he did in this game. I think he drifts out wide to get the ball in the manner of a certain Arsenal legend. And I think he was really good for a 19-year-old. We really can't ask for more than what he did for us today. Actually, even when he put your BFG on his ass and...
Your BFG on his ass.
Is it BYG? I don't know what is it. Okay.
It's BFG. It's big.
Really hard to
insert BP here, German. And then Viggy actually came up with a pretty good play on words. He called Pinacek the big fat check. But anyway, Yuri was saying.
Yeah. So let me put it in your words. When AM8 put BFG on his ass after executing a 360 degree spin and snapshot. I thought that was his best moment in the game. And I think that's where it comes back to having Peter Cech as goalkeeper. I think that save might have probably saved you all a very nervous second half. It was an excellent, excellent save.
Very true. But where do you think this takes Arsenal this season, Aman?
Hopefully upwards and onwards. And the good thing is that Arsenal, I find that Arsenal played and they are confident. The moment that confidence goes away, it's a different team almost. And the fact that they won against a big team and they haven't beaten United by this score since 1998. So I'm sure it is a big boost to everyone in the team and the club. So hopefully this will be start of a good run. But it's a slightly left field theory. I was just wondering, is Wenger decided that he doesn't want to focus on Champions League this and just get out of it as soon as possible almost and just focus, and he's figured out that literally the Premier League is there for the taking. If they can focus on Premier League, it really is there for the taking. Because I don't remember him doing so much of in Champions League games away. So it's just completely unlike him to do so much rotation in Champions League.
So you're saying his strategy is to get out of the Champions League even earlier than when you'll usually get out of the Champions League. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, because that's...
Brilliant tactic.
In the sense that not play your main team, that's all. It's then we win. If they don't, then so be it. But just focus on the Premier League for this side. I think that's what Liverpool did a couple of years back when they almost won it. The fact that they had to play Premier League allowed them to go on that run.
Yuri, you know, it's funny that the question came from you because did you see any Champions League football last year? Anyway, I'll take that silence as a no. But Vicky, next two rounds, Arsenal's playing Bayern Munich. What are your thoughts?
I mean, think about it. Bayern Munich just beat Dortmund 5-1. Lewandowski has scored his two more goals of the week. It's just getting ridiculous. I'm really scared. We're in for a big, big, big spanking at the hands of Bayern. We might pull off one gutsy performance win, but I feel like it's going to be the same story all over again. We go for the last game needing a 3-0 win versus Olympiacos away from home to make it through the group stages. We get a 2-0 win and everyone calls us a brave loser. It's getting highly, highly repetitive right now. But forget the Champions League. It's not a day for us. We're talking about the miseries. It's a day of
Sorry to butt in, but I just now saw Brendan Rodgers has been sacked.
What?
Has been sacked.
Brendan Rodgers has been sacked. Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was.
Does that mean Jurgen Klopp is coming in?
Yeah, it's going to be Klopp.
What happens to Manchester United from now, Yuri?
I mean, you tell me. I was going to ask you the same question because you guys are all three Arsenal fans. I actually did some research, Vikas, for the show, and I did look up the last big win that Arsenal had in the league. I think it was 2-0 away to Man City in January of last year. And yeah, I think if I remember correctly, you were on quite a high then as well, and then the season petered out from there on. So what do you guys think? I mean, this is a big win, but considering Arsenal, I feel like they will just go and drop points away to Watford next and end the season at either third or fourth as they usually do. But I'd love to know what you guys think.
You know, the good thing, Yuri, is that the top four is so sucky this year that we don't need to worry about being in the top four, hopefully. So we we should be focusing at least on top two. But yeah, I hear you. We've been down that road so many times before, and it's tough.
I mean, with the squad that Arsenal has, you all should be challenging for the top, even, shouldn't you?
Well, that's what we thought at the beginning of the season when we bought Peter Cech. We finally have a league winner in the squad. But I actually think if we do get out of the Champions League, it's probably a good thing. No more midweek fixtures, no more injuries. Jack Wilshere will be back soon for maybe 20 minutes of gameplay. But otherwise, I don't see Arsenal beating any of the big teams again this season, especially the way Man City have been playing and the way Arsenal crumble under Jose Mourinho's Chelsea. I don't know if we can still... well, I don't know about the top two, but definitely in the top four.
I think top four goes without saying. You're playing it pretty safe there. Even Man United are guaranteed top four, I think. So that's really not a big achievement this year.
It probably is not. But I don't see how Man City are going to lose, especially with De Bruyne playing the way he is. Silva back in the squad. Aguero with 5 goals yesterday. Wow, that was pretty good for all our fantasy teams.
What if Aguero gets injured? Then they're done for it. Boney leading the line, scoring 5 goals. I don't see that happening. So you can never say there's no guarantees that Man City will ace it.
Another thing, they are like a Chelsea. Chelsea can front run really well. Once they are ahead, they just know how to just continue going. City has always had a suspect defense. I mean, first half of Newcastle game, you're never sure whether what's going to happen next. So City, they always give you a chance.
But, okay, so you mentioned Chelsea for a bit. What is wrong with Chelsea? What is happening to the entire team? I know Nemanja Matic, Ivanovic, Terry, even Fabregas. They're having a pretty bad season so far. But do you think they're going to keep losing to Crystal Palace, Southampton at home?
If you want to sack him, sack him.
sure, of course. Vicky, we yet to hear your... hear you impersonate Yuri.
I'm not going to kick anyone who's down.
Why would it have to be kicking? Why can't you say something nice about me?
Well, we'll let Vicky practice for a bit, but...
Now that Man United have lost, I don't think I want to be kicking Yuri when he's down.
Okay, we leave it for the listeners to guess who that was. I'm pretty sure I know who that is. But Yuri, did you? What do you think about the whole saga going on with Jose Mourinho and Chelsea?
I don't know. I feel like Jose Mourinho has just psychologically tired out his own players from, you know, constant siege mentality, the constant, you know, like fighting against the odds, or that's how he makes it seem. I think it really tires teams out. I mean, we saw it with Real Madrid. We saw it with his old Chelsea team. He takes a lot out of his players, and maybe that's one of his strengths, his man management. He gets more out of players than I've seen any other manager do, except for maybe Alex Ferguson. But I feel like that has to end somewhere. There's only so much you can get out of them. And I think it just wears players down. So I don't feel like Chelsea are as motivated or as driven this year as we saw them last year. Otherwise, in terms of the players, I think they have great players.
So no comeback for Chelsea?
No, I don't see them coming back.
Not even the top four, yeah?
No, they will finish top four for sure. They're not that far back. In fact, none of even the top of the league is not that far away from Chelsea. It's just that they've lost a lot of games already.
I definitely think the top of the league, they're what, 10 points behind Man City now. I think it's pretty impossible this early on in the season for going that far back and still winning it.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that to say that they would come back and win it. I just said that the gap is not that big. It's only 10 points from the top. So it's not that hard to get into the top four is what I meant.
Gotcha. Well, Aman, since Rodgers is now gone and potentially Jurgen Klopp can join in, you think Liverpool are actually not doing that terribly. They were only 3 points behind Arsenal before the start of today. You think they can finally make a push for top four?
I mean, it has to be seen this because Klopp works in a certain way and he needs certain type of players for his method to work. I don't know whether Liverpool have those kind of players which can play in a Klopp way, so to speak. But I think more than anything else, it's not about the results, but I just didn't see what was Rodgers doing with that team. I just didn't see any game plans. When Benteke was playing, it was literally just hit the ball to Benteke and hope something happens. That was pretty much his strategy. So he has sort of regressed over the last 2-3 years. I thought he was much better for Swansea than he has been for Liverpool, for example. So not cool that he has gone, because for whatever reasons, he just had lost it.
You finish, you know, your usual third place, you all win one of the cups, or maybe not even win anything, and Jose Mourinho becomes available.
Oh!
No.
Definitely not.
Never.
No, never.
Biggie, sorry, you were saying?
Oh, never. Jose Mourinho for Arsenal, never. Please, no. I mean, you can have him at Man United after Van Gaal leaves. You can let him win you one title and take the club to further new lows, if possible.
You know,
I think for us it's out of question because I feel like Ryan Giggs is lined up for the job, so it would have to be the Arsenal job.
Oh, he definitely. I don't think anyone in the Arsenal board will sign him.
I don't.
But even if he guaranteed a league win,
a club which has gone 10 years to try to stabilize will not jeopardize it for one league win and another 5 to 10 years of instability, I'm sure.
Yuri, what is the verdict, I mean, within Man United about Van Gaal? Because I've been quite confused by his whole approach, but I don't know how Man United fans feel about it.
I think we're all pretty confused. And if you see the reactions online, they're always mixed. I don't think any Man United fans are under the illusion that we play really good football or anything like that. The football is dreary. It's very possession heavy, very sterile possession, maybe old Arsenal-ish almost. And it's really not good enough. However, considering we went through that 1 year of David Moyes, our expectations are a lot lower than they used to be. So as long as Van Gaal finishes in the top four this year, I think it's just stability that most fans seek. And we are okay to let, you know, bide our time and wait for Giggs to come in.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Red, White and Brown podcast on redwhiteandbrown.com. Another episode, another successful sign-off from Gary Lineker, a.k.a. Vikas. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
It was redwhiteandbrownreport.com, but we want listeners to go to the right website. So it was redwhiteandbrownreport.com. Thanks, Biggie. Thanks, Yuri, for joining in. And Aman, as always, thank you. We will see you again after the away game at Watford or wherever we are playing next. And see you guys in 2 weeks.